Okay, thank you all for coming. We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. And when you're ready, Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Councilmember Larraway.
Here.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is the consent. Oh, excuse me. We have to consider to amend the agenda.
I would move we amend the agenda to add action item to 6A and 6B and remove none next to Title VI public hearing.
I'll second that.
Motion's made and seconded to add action item to 6A and 6B and remove none text to the Title VI public hearing. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. Next item is the consent agenda. Questions, comments, motions?
Mayor,
yes.
I had three of them here. If Jared could explain what Allstream is. There was a bill in there for $1,200.
Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So, Councilman Cardoza, so Allstream is one of the vendors that we pay on a monthly basis for telephone data and network services. So, in other words, they help our phones to operate correctly.
That's in addition to Verizon that we pay a couple of thousand?
So, Verizon is the cell phones. So Allstream would be the desk phones and that entire system.
Okay. And that's what we get charged, $1,200 a month?
Right. But it covers everybody in the city, so City Hall, the Orchard office, and also the North Wastewater Treatment Plant.
Okay. There was also a $2,000 for, it was called Barefoot in the Park. What was that?
You'd have to point me to the exact item. I don't have a searchable document in front of me.
Chris, do you know what that would be for? It's called it was a check written for $2,000 for the CUNA School District for Barefoot in the Park.
Picked up the name from this side.
Okay. It would have been, I think, to CUNA High School.
It was a CAC expense, Jared. So it's vendor number 79. It's on page 33.
33 of the AP document.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm not seeing that, Chris.
It's on page 23.
Oh, 23. I thought.
33 of the packet.
Okay. Page 23. So from what I understand, Councilman Cardoza, This expense was a donation to an amount that the Keno Arts Commission had requested, and it was, I believe, to help in a production that the school district is putting on, and so that was in furtherance of that.
So it was a donation from our art commission?
Looks like Chris has some more information on that.
If I can field that, Councilmember Cardoza, the CUNA Arts Commission that's under the city and the CUNA High School Performing Arts, Josh Rippey is the director over there for the art, for theater. And so the two of them are working on a production with Josh taking the lead, using the facilities, working with students and that kind of stuff. So it was a joint. It's not a donation. It's a theater production that is being done between the two of them.
Okay. Last question. There is a membership for the Boise Chamber of Commerce. Why do we belong to the Boise Chamber of Commerce, Mayor?
It's the Greater Boise Metro Chamber, and they coordinate a lot of the activities that we get involved with, they coincide with Boise Valley Economic Partnership, and some of those ones, it's the same type of thing. So,
okay, it's not the Boise Chamber direct.
Right, it's the, okay, the Greater Chamber Metro.
Okay.
Metro Chamber.
That's all I had, President. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, then I move we approve the consent agenda as published.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Let's see, external reports. So we have Kim Beckdahl from the CUNA School District here. This is for consideration of $6,000 for the CUNA School District to fund partial cost for a school resource officer. Yeah, you can go ahead and come on up. Thank you. Welcome.
Mayor Steer and members of the council, it's my first time here. Thank you for letting me come here tonight. It's different, a different board situation, so it's kind of nice to be here. So thank you. I think that you have the letter in your packet, and so I just wanted to just maybe give a little background, because the city's been a great partner with us, and so I want to thank you for that. 2 years ago, when we had to make some really serious budget cuts, we did not want to lose one of our four SROs, and the city and the Sheriff's Department came together. I wasn't a part of that, but they came together and they said, well, let us just chip in a little bit. And that was wonderful because it was able to help us just close a gap in our total bill for the our SROs, who are fantastic. We truly appreciate all that they do, and Chief Petusco. And then last year, we had some major cuts, and we had to cut one SRO. But again, they were fabulous in how they covered. Our budget went way down, and the city still paid, just kept the amount that they had been paying. And really, that's all I knew. I knew there was kind of just a continuation. And so this year, we were able to add back our fourth SRO, which we're very grateful for. And I didn't know any different in the contract until I had emailed you and I talked to Chief Petusco that the Sheriff's Department wanted us to just meet with the city and have it between, just to continuance of the partnership that we'd had for the last 2 years. And it's not a huge dollar amount. It's not going to get us a whole SRO. It's just that our budget was, we had allotted for so much. It's like everybody does with their budget. But we value the partnership that we have with the city. We value the partnership we have with our sheriff's department. We know that our SROs can get called out at a moment's notice to help with anything happening in the city, and we truly would want that because we want to keep our citizens safe. So I guess I'm just here before you to just ask, could we continue that partnership and just that amount? I guess it's just increased a little bit because I know the price of the SROs went up. So I just put in there $6,000. So I guess I'm just here to ask if we can continue that partnership with the city. We feel like we have a great partnership. We feel like we have a great partnership with our sheriff and our SROs, and we just want to, I guess I'm here to ask if we can continue that.
Okay, thank you. Did anybody have any questions for Kim? And then I'll give a kind of a summary of how we got there.
If you don't mind, is this for an elementary school SRO?
Well, it would be for any one of them. We have one elementary SRO, and she covers all six of our elementary schools. And last year we had one middle school SRO because we had to cut by one. So he covered CUNY Middle School, he covered Fremont Middle School, and Initial Point. And then we had one SRO that covers the high school, Swan Falls and CUNA High. This year, we were able to add back a fourth because we did get a little bit more money, but we thought piecing it all together would be helpful. So we were able to get, we haven't even met her yet, a fabulous SRO that will be at CUNA Middle School. So each middle school will have an SRO, and then our elementary SRO does still cover all six of our elementary schools, and then one, we have one full-time one at the high school. And I guess one of the middle school ones covers Initial Point, too. West Funnel usually does that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good. So Chief McDaniel had come to me and said that the school district was short on funds to fund another SRO completely. And the discussion we had was it would put quite an extra workload on our CUNA police force if that SRO didn't exist. And so I came to council and asked if they would be willing to help fund that extra gap there to keep that position filled. It was my understanding that that was a one-time thing, so we didn't proceed with a contract or any kind of agreement like that. So there isn't really anything official in the way of an agreement. The way that it worked was the sheriff's department actually became the middleman on that, and then that's how we budgeted it, through our police department, which really wasn't where the money went. It went to the Ada County Sheriff's Department, but that's how that got billed. It came through last year. We didn't notice it so much because of the fact it came through our contract with the Sheriff's Department. This year, the Sheriff's Department said that they didn't want to be the middleman in that, and thereby we didn't budget for it, and the school district assumed that we were going to budget for it. So their request is that we help them again this year. And again, we didn't budget for it, so this will have to be a contingency type of thing, which I have no problem with. If council wishes to continue to fund this, then we will have to make an agreement, something that's official. We'll have to get attorneys involved and stuff like that. So, that's kind of where we're at. The school district is in a pickle now because they didn't budget for it. They could actually shorten the term of one of the SROs for the year so that they're not there the whole year, but that gets disruptive, and I think that's probably more problematic than not having one all together. So that's the request tonight. We got a little crossways with that, I think, kind of because we didn't communicate enough on it. None of us really had it on the radar to pay attention to talk about it, and so here we are with this decision. So
Could I add one thing?
Yes.
So the reason you might say why 6,000 or whatever, you know, why that dollar amount? Well, in the last couple of years, I write a grant to the state for it's a safe and drug-free school grant. In the last 2 years, that's how we did keep one SRO last year, is through that grant. We could use it for, you know, a lot of things, but we believe that our SROs are very important to our city, to our schools. And that the amount that you paid in the past has closed the gap on that particular SRO. Sometimes, and we don't know exactly what it is, but it's usually about $67,000, but I can't guarantee that. That's every year it's a grant from the state that I write, and so that's the gap in that amount, if you're wondering,
right,
you know, why $6,000 or $5,000. It's just to close the gap to complete one more SRO, if that makes any sense.
Chief.
Mayor, City Council, Mike Fortusco, Chief of Police for the City of CUNA, 1450 West Boise Street. Kim, thank you for coming. I do have to say that some of that communication, most of it, probably has to rest on my shoulders because coming in as a new chief, I didn't know the backstory, I guess, per se, on the finances. So when we met with our budget analysis people at Barrister, we talked about this, and like the mayor said, about not wanting to be the middle person on this. I will say that school resource officers play such a vital role in this community that losing one like we lost last year, our patrol deputies started responding to more and more school calls, taking them off the streets and taking them out of the area to do their normal patrol functions because the schools do utilize them so much, and not just for criminal activity, because we do have criminal activity that occurs in these schools, but the relationships these school resource officers build in these schools are tremendous. I can tell you firsthand that working out there at CUNA Days with the SROs, all of these kids know the school resource officers. Detective Bunnell is constantly sending me information or sending our team information on kids that are committing crimes or with the current incidents we've had at the schools with the vandalism. I believe we've identified a lot of those kids that have committed those crimes, and that is strictly comes from the school resource officers and those kids knowing the people inside their school, just as a patrol deputy would know their people inside their community, like the city of CUNA. So it is a very important position, having that fourth position back. It's really going to help us out quite a bit. It's the city's decision if they want to fund that, but I am a firm supporter in the school resource officer program.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor,
yes.
I've got one question. Where does the resource officer go in the summer when school's out? To the CUNA police force?
Yeah, that's a great question, Councilman Cardoza. So the contract is written for, I believe, a nine-month period. It's not a full year contract. So it's prorated at a nine-month rotation, I believe. Those three of the school resource officers will fall back into patrol with Ada County Sheriff's Office paying for those 3 months. One of those positions comes to the city of CUNA, where the city of CUNA picks up those 3 months, and they work as an at-large juvenile detective in the summertime for the city of CUNA. So when those kids are out of school, they're still working juvenile cases.
Is that officer already being billed to us for those 3 months?
Yeah, that's correct, sir.
It's
yes,
this included in our budget allotment to the county.
Yes, sir. It's currently built into the contract. This year it was Wes Bunnell, and he worked a swing shift in the evening time, and he dealt with all of our juvenile-related calls while on duty.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Would it be feasible? I have no problem with it. There aren't kids. I'm just asking if it would be feasible for this information to get to the chief before budget. That way, we can approve it all at one time.
I can answer that, Councilman Laraway. As I stated before, the communication probably falls on me. We were in transition between myself and Chief McDaniel. I was getting ready for the budget process, and when Nolan at our at the sheriff's office sprung it on me that, hey, we don't want to, this shouldn't be in our budget. So we had it removed, and I didn't think anything of it because I didn't know it was a prolonged or a yearly cost that they were asking for. So there was just a lot of miscommunication in that transition.
Thank you.
And Jared doesn't like it when we don't get things in the budget before we approve it. Okay, anything further for Kim?
No.
Thank you for letting me come here tonight, and thank you. Honestly, you have a great police chief and great mayor, and we do love our SROs, and they are, just like he said, amazing people that help us with our kids and our community and do good work, proactive. Thank you.
Yeah, that summertime overlap is invaluable for us. So.
If there's any, Mark Bybee, city attorney. If there's any question on what the action is right now, I think the appropriate action of the council would be to direct staff to prepare an agreement or to work with staff from the school district to come to an agreement as to what this relationship's going to look like. If you're inclined towards approving the, at least this year's $6,000 expenditure, I think it's okay. Now it's time to put together an agreement so that we know what this relationship looks like, so that next year, if a similar request is going to be made, that the request made is pre-budgeting. And also, I believe there would need to be an amendment potentially brought to your budget as well to account for this being in the 2022 budget. So I think really at this point, if you're considering it, I think it would be to direct it to staff to get that stuff done.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then I would move to direct staff to work with the school district on an agreement. And are we approving the $6,000 now, or do we do that later?
I'd approve it as part of the agreement once it comes to you.
And then I would also move we approve the $6,000 for the partial cost for a school resource officer.
I'll second that.
President. Would you make
okay,
that
okay? Motion is made and seconded. Questions?
Make that on a condition of 1 year. You'll have a different council next year, so I would like the letter to be contingent on a 1 year of this year, 21 to 22.
Yeah, and I think that works. I think we need to have deeper discussions on it. So. That's good.
Thank you, President.
Motion still stand?
Yes.
And second? Okay. So motion is made and seconded to direct staff to work with the school district to prepare an agreement for funding the $6,000 for this year and also to approve the $6,000 fund for this year from contingency. Did that capture that correctly?
Yep.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you. Public hearings. Consideration to approve case number 20-7-AN annexation, 20-16-S preplat, Arrowwood Heights subdivision. Who do we have? Troy?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the record, Troy Behunin, Senior Planner, CUNA Planning and Zoning Department, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council, members of the council. The application before you is proposing to annex approximately 53.14 acres parcel into the city of CUNA, applying three different zones, approximately 33.71 acres for R6 medium density residential, 7.59 acres for R8 medium residential, and 9.79 acres for or as C1 neighborhood commercial. The residential portion of the project will be subdivided into 203 total lots, which equals yields 177 buildable lots and 26 common lots. Pathways will be provided throughout the subdivision and the surrounding classified roadways for pedestrian connectivity. On June 15th of this year, Council remanded this case back to the Commission for their consideration of a preplat that was modified in between the Commission hearing and City Council on June 15th. The Council decided to remand it back in order for the Planning and Zoning Commission to be able to review that modified preplat that was created to reflect the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendations and also that of staff recommendations. In late July of this year, staff became aware of a potential issue related to the wastewater treatment pond that is on the Joe Guido property, which is a parcel inside the Iron Horse subdivision. The issue is related to the wastewater treatment pond and also the land application area that's used for treating the sewer waters from the Iron Horse subdivision, which is directly south and southwest of this proposed subdivision. According to the DEQ, or Department of Environmental Quality, comments received through an email on July 22nd of this year, if dwelling units are placed within 300 feet of this land application site, the Iron Horse Subdivision sewer treatment facility would face one of four outcomes. As soon as the first home is built within 300 feet of the land application site and is issued a certificate of occupancy, or a C of O, one of the first outcomes would have been to relocate the land application site. The second could be upgrading the treatment to a higher standard. However, upgrading to treated waters will only reduce the buffer area. It will not eliminate it completely. The third possible outcome would be to discontinue using the pond and the application area, annex these properties into the city CUNA city limits, and connect them to the central sewer system of the city. And the fourth outcome could possibly be conduct a microbial risk analysis to show a reduced buffer zone is protective, which would include A, addition of a landscape buffer, and two, it would assess whether the full acreage that is being used now is needed to comply with the reuse permit. Due to these developments, the applicant altered their site plan before the planning and zoning meeting, yet they have retained the same lot count as originally submitted. The applicant does propose to place notes on the final plat for the subdivision that would limit when or if homes may be built on those three lots that are within that 300-foot land application area buffer zone. The notes would not allow a home to be built on them until the Iron Horse subdivision no longer needs it or decides to remove the pond and the land application site. So if they rely on it forever, if it's in place, those three lots would not have an opportunity to receive a home. In the event that the Iron Horse subdivision no longer needs the pond or the land application site sometime in the future, then those three lots that are identified in the notes on the final plat may be issued a building permit to build homes. Staff will require that the applicant treat these three lots inside this wastewater buffer zone as common lots and place sod over them. Following the application's review, staff has determined that the annexation and preliminary plat application requests are within technical compliance of the CUNA City Code, Idaho State Code, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, and I will sit for questions.
Thank you. Questions for Troy?
Two.
Yes, go ahead.
What is the life expectancy of that pond? I know the DEQ has closed other ponds in the area.
I don't believe that we have an answer to that right now. As long as they keep meeting the standards that DEQ has placed on them originally, they can apply for a land application permit indefinitely. I don't believe that there is a timeline or a shelf life written into that reuse permit.
Also, the second question, you mentioned that microbial risk is, who's financially going to pay for that if the test is required?
That would be up to the homeowners or the users of that pond.
So it would fall into that little subdivision?
Correct.
The Black Court. Okay. Thank you.
And it's a microbial risk analysis.
Okay, Troy, do you know, was there originally a contract for use of the property that the reuse permit goes to? Or was that originally one?
For the land application of the waters?
Yes.
Yes, that is a permit that's issued through the Department of Environmental Quality.
How would they do that on someone else's property, though, is my question.
It was always set up to be on the Guido lot, which is actually a lot within that subdivision. It was always set up that way. So it's actually waters from Iron Horse subdivision being land applied to another lot within the subdivision.
But it's the Guido lot is not what we're talking about, though, for reuse.
Are you talking about... How does that buffer affect another land use?
How can they use reuse water on someone else's property without a contract?
They're not. I guess maybe I don't understand the question.
Well, when you have somebody's affecting someone else's neighboring property by reuse water, and they don't own that property that they're affecting, thereby making it where they can't build lots and things on there. How can they affect a neighbor's property with that without their permission?
Oh, so you're talking about the conflict between a proposed subdivision and this buffer area?
The original, yeah, I mean, yeah. How can this property affect this property without this property's permission?
That's a very good question. It's actually kind of complicated. If you read the comments from the Department of Environmental Quality, what they talk about is if there is an established subdivision and somebody proposes a treatment facility like the Iron Horse subdivision has, so if the tables were reversed, let's say that Arrowwood Heights is already in place and Ironwood would like to put the wastewater treatment facility and the land application area as a new facility with those homes already there, they would have to maintain the 300-foot buffer. However, that's not the case. That was in place, and because DEQ does not require a new owner, such as a proposed subdivision, to keep the subdivision away, it's only meant for proposing a new system adjacent to an existing subdivision, not the other way around.
Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Mark Bybee, City Attorney, and Troy. Sorry, I don't want to step on your toes.
No, good.
What I'm kind of get to your question, when I hear that, it seems to me at the time that plant was, you know, the wastewater treatment that Iron Horse uses was proposed and this buffer was going to be established, it seems at that point there should have been some negotiations that maybe some kind of easement rights were established between whoever the landowner was that preceded this applicant today and the subdivision. That obviously didn't happen, it sounds like, or there's not an exception on the deed, but to me, when I look at it, it seems to be how it should have gone. why it didn't go that way, none of us have the answers today. It didn't. And it's ultimately something, you know, the applicant here could say, well, why the heck wasn't that there? Maybe gives them some kind of relief towards the body that approved that treatment plant in that location with that buffer that affected their property. Maybe, you know, those are kind of avenues to think about, because I feel like it should have been an exception identified on the deed or some kind of easement recorded by the people that did the action in the past, and it didn't happen. Why it didn't happen, we don't have the answers here today, and it's not a situation the city caused, because the city was not involved in the approval of the Iron Horse subdivision.
Right. Okay, thank you. Further questions? Did somebody grab the sign-up sheets out there, please?
How did I get into here? How did I get in? I can't bring it up online. I don't have any place here.
Thank you, kind sir. All right, would the applicant like to present at this point? Sure. Wendy, is that right? All right.
Good evening, I'm Wendy.
Actually, that's right. Until it turns red.
The not intuitive.
It's red hot.
Good evening. I'm Wendy Shreef. I'm a planner with JEB Engineers, and my business address is 2760 Excursion Lane in Meridian, Idaho. Again, I'm here, and we're so excited we're finally here at Council. It's been a circuitous route. We've had a lot of help from Troy, from Paul Stevens, and we're really excited to be here at Council this evening. Okay. Drag up. Just kind of an overview of what we're here for this evening. We're applying to annex 53 acres into the city of CUNA. We're currently in Ada County. The majority of this is a part of our subdivision. So I'm going to go ahead and put the plat up. Where we're located, we are directly to the south of Memory Ranch subdivision, and we will in the future have a phase of Memory Ranch immediately to the north of us. We are on 10 Mile Road, and this area, I'm going to show you the comprehensive plan, and we are 10 Mile, which is a major thoroughfare. And here's the City of CUNA's future land use map, which I think is a really important part of what we're proposing this evening. This area, and it's a little hard to see, but we're off of 10 Mile. We have been designated as mixed use. And I think that's because of the traffic on 10 Mile. We have been designated for mixed use. So has the property immediately to the south of us. There's an existing county subdivision which has retained its designation of low density. We are mixed use. So is the Guido property to the south. The property immediately on the east side of 10 Mile is designated as commercial. So what we are proposing is we met with staff. We worked through this quite a bit with Troy. I'll show you our plat. So this is kind of the plat and where we've ended up today. What we are proposing is three different zoning designations. We are proposing community commercial, C1, immediately adjacent to 10 Mile. And we have two different residential zones. We are applying for R6, where we are immediately adjacent. R6 is one of our larger lots on the western parts of our project. And R8, where we are adjacent to that proposed commercial off of 10 Mile. So we have two different lot sizes. And we were really encouraged by planning staff to have this combination of different uses and zoning designations to really meet the intents of the comprehensive plan. Now, what we're proposing, I'll kind of run through our plat, annexation of 53 acres. 33 acres is going to be R6, medium density. So that's the bulk of our project. A little over 7 acres will be designated R8. So those are our smaller lots, and this is where we are buffering these areas. This is where we are buffering the commercial land uses. We are proposing, we have 177 lots. We've dedicated quite a bit of open space in this plot. We have almost 7.5 acres of open space. We're also proposing a trail system. We have a regional pathway located on the northern side of the Cuna Canal that runs along the southern border of our project. And also, and you can see this a little better when I get to my landscape plan, we are proposing a micropath system to provide connectivity throughout the subdivision. So these areas, we have proposed micropaths so that a child living in the subdivision can take one of the micropaths over to see one of their friends. This is great for kids on tricycles, moms with strollers, and this connects the subdivision. And this was really, I think, nicely thought out for this project. For our open space, we're proposing amenities. We have a half-court basketball. We have one of a playground. And I want to show you where we very purposely have focused our open space. Here along the southern border of our project, where we are adjacent to a county subdivision, which is kind of a legacy subdivision. It's a really nice subdivision to the south. And we've made a number of changes to make sure we are providing a really good buffer between what we're proposing and that subdivision to the south. I'm gonna run through kind of briefly the DEQ issues and show you where we have these three hatched lots over here in the south. So this area. So this was where, it was kind of a surprise when we initially started to work on the project, we contacted DEQ, talked to them about the sewer lagoon, found out spacing, how that area was permitted, what we needed to do constructing next to it. And then we found out later this summer that the application field actually has a 300-foot buffer. So this area where we have these three hatch lots, those are lots where we had a couple ways we could have dealt with this. Really, the cleanest way to deal with this was to create a buffer in an area that cannot be built upon. So where we have these lots that are shown as hatched, those can only be constructed upon, and this will be part of the CCNRs, it'll be part of the preliminary plat, it'll be part of the final plats, only can be constructed upon if that sewer lagoon and the application field goes away. If it doesn't go away, those lots are not constructible. And we worked with Public Works on exactly what that plat note will read to make sure that's maintained, it's easier, and it's easy for the city to police that. This is a common lot. So lot 17 is a large common area, and we have three lots immediately adjacent to that, which are not constructible at this point. So we have maintained the buffer. We have zero impact on the neighbors and their sewer lagoon and their application field. I want to show you some of the major changes that we've made with this plat as we've gone through this process. I can make that smaller? So I want to show you, we did two neighborhood meetings. My client has really gone out of their way, Hayden Homes has gone out of their way, to work with our neighbors. What you see on the left is what we had initially proposed. This was at our first neighborhood meeting. After we met with the neighbors, we had a large group that came out. My client had us go back and do a major redesign where we previously had a centralized open space area. We moved this to the south, where we are immediately adjacent to Iron Horse Subdivision. So we've created where there is a, with the canal, there's a 60-foot buffer between Iron Horse and where our open space begins. So we clustered all of our open space so that we would not have homes immediately adjacent to that legacy subdivision, Iron Horse. So we wanted to make that clear. And I typically will advise clients to not make major changes prior to hearings. I think you get more credit when you do it at the hearings. My client wanted to go ahead and make the concession right up front and work with the neighbors from the very beginning. So they lost lots and did a major redesign to make sure that they had this buffer between their project and the neighbors in Iron Horse. So I'm going to go ahead and show you some of our landscape areas. So this is a slightly different layout, but you can see our centralized open space, our basketball court, the micropaths that run through the project, and then the pathway, the regional pathway along the Cuna Canal that we're proposing. I think this is going to be a really nice project and an asset to the city of Cuna. I also have a couple of homes I'm going to show you that are, these are Hayden homes that have recently been constructed in the area. Just to show you the quality of the product. So I'm going to show you the quality of the home that they construct, where they've got a variety of building materials, varied roof lines, a mix of single and two-story homes. And here's some other home types. And they really wanted to make sure that they showed what their homes look like and that anything they construct in the subdivision will be in substantial compliance. So I think this is very compatible with the surrounding neighborhoods in Cuna. This will definitely be an asset to the city of Cuna. Got a couple other slides just to kind of show, these are interiors, obviously not planning, but just to show that the quality of finishes in these homes, the kitchen. I've got a couple bathrooms with tile. So these are obviously upper end homes that have been constructed by Hayden Homes. And again, I wanted to show you that the major changes in this project that our client has gone through, we've really worked with staff to make sure we're showing we have a variety of housing types and lot sizes, that we have a large commercial area, almost 10 acres on 10 mile, which is a part of our annexation, but not a part of the plat, and that we've really made a big change with losing lots and clustering all of our open space to where we're immediately adjacent to those neighbors to the south. Got a copy of this is our current preliminary plat, where this again shows our relocated open space, shows our lots that we've changed when we found out about the DEQ requirements, and shows our micropath system. This is, I'm going to show you the area, and we came here briefly this summer, and we were remed back to P&Z. It was this area in the south, immediately adjacent to the commercial area, where we had been asked by P&Z. Well, I'm here for any questions. I can run through that.
Okay. Questions? So I have one.
Of course.
And so just for clarification, I know it talks in the agenda about the 10-mile frontage being C1 neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And then when I see in the neighborhood meeting minutes, it talks about annexation of future commercial property on 10 Mile. What that does is that creates confusion on what commercial means. And so I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that we're talking about commercial neighborhood, not commercial gas stations and things like that. So,
correct, Mayor. Thank you for clarifying. And we were actually careful when we met with the neighbors to make it very clear that the property is, the commercial property is being retained by the current property owner, and it's not a part of the subdivision. We're just applying for the annexation and for the lower density neighborhood commercial use. But we don't have any uses proposed at this time out on 10 Mile.
So it's lower density commercial?
This is C1. And Troy, do you want to run through the different designations?
Mr. Mayor, for the record, Jay Selman, yeah. CUNA Planning and Zoning Director. The C1 designation is our neighborhood style commercial. By neighborhood, it's not referring to allowing residential in that. It's meaning more of your daily uses. So maybe there it is a gas station. Maybe it is a daycare, a dentist, an orthodontist. But it does not permit for residential uses. So the C1, the name of that zone is neighborhood commercial, but that neighborhood refers to a...
So like maybe dentist offices.
Right. It refers
like
to your daily commercial services.
Okay. So that was the clarification. Yeah. Because when I see C1 neighborhood, that makes me think it's a neighborhood.
Yeah, we went through the process to remove multifamily out of that C1. Has it been 2 years now? So, yeah, it is mostly your daily services in that area.
All right. Thank you. That answered my question. That had me confused when I read that. So, all right. Any other questions?
Mayor?
Yes.
If I could have the floor. Jace, the economic development director at the time was requesting a road as a buffer between the development and the commercial. Was that discussed or ever brought to a issue? At the time, I think Lisa Holland was the economic director. There's a letter in requesting a buffer of a road.
Councilman Cardoza, Mr. Mayor, for the record, Jay Selman, Cunipalling Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. My understanding is that road was discussed during the pre-app and was made as a recommendation by the former economic development director. However, it was not incorporated in this project. It appears the applicant has instead densified some of the homes that act as that buffer instead. However, if the council does wish that would be more adequate of a buffer to have that road, that is in your power to ask if the applicant would be considering of that. But in this case, they have looked to do more of a denser housing product rather than the road, with the thought that commercial, my assumption, would have a cross access, so there would be a ability to get to any of the commercial parcels. It doesn't show the road, but there could still be a commercial package road as a part of that future commercial development.
At the time
in order to develop.
Okay. I have one other question. I'm not sure who to direct it to. This is an open pond, I believe, a sewage pond. Do you know how far the odor of the pond would go in feet? Has anybody ever looked into that?
So, for the record, Troy Buchanan, senior planner. So the answer to that question, Councilmember Cardoza, is that is about the area that DEQ has established as that buffer zone is at 300 feet.
300 feet.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't mean that it won't travel beyond that. It's just that's the buffer dimensions that they established back in 2005 or 2004, whenever this was approved.
So we're not building houses on some of those commercial lots, but we're putting in common lots for children within that buffer zone.
There is no restriction on common lots. It's only certificate of occupancy for a residential home. And there are no commercial lots within this buffer zone.
Or residential, I should have said. We're taking out residential, putting in common lots for children to use. That close, within the 300 feet.
That is actually a frequent tactic that is used for land application. When it's treated waters, it can be put on common areas. It's not uncommon.
No, I'm not talking about the water being applied to the common area. I'm saying we're taking out some homes to appease iron hoers, but we're putting in common area for children to use that same area.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mayor, Council members, I do want to point out that
thank you.
Where we have our centralized, our basketball courts and our playground, it is actually another area in here, which is quite a bit quite a bit to the north and to the west of the application fields.
But the area that's been excluded is a common area now. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
At least, sorry, for the record, Troy Buchanan, at least temporarily, in the event that the sewage treatment facility and the land application area is no longer needed, then those lots could transition from common lot to a buildable lot.
Thank you.
Follow-up
question,
Troy. If those three lots are not going to be readily available now, are they going to become a park or part of the open common space?
It would become, sorry for the record, Troy Buchanan. Commissioner, or council member, sorry, bad habits. Council member Larraway, to answer your question, staff has recommended and P&Z also approved and recommends for approval that area does become a sodded area. It would be visually absorbed into the surrounding common lot. It's not going to look any different than any other common lot other than there may not be as many trees.
And follow-up question, across the street, there's two lots that are encompassed within that 300. What are you gonna do with that?
Those are also common lots. Okay. If you zoom into that, staff did highlight the phrase, yeah. Those two lots that are affected, two of them will become common lots, and there is another third one where the house will be outside of that area, but part of that buffer area does eclipse that corner, that front corner piece.
So we are talking five lots total.
Five lots turning to common lots?
Well, five lots that are going to be affected.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, further questions?
Yeah, Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Has there been discussions, and this might be a good one for Paul. Sorry, Paul. Has there been discussions regarding the pump upgrades that are required to service this development or any plan to upgrade those pumps for the memory wrench lift station?
Mayor and Council, this is Paul, City Engineer, and I guess I live here at 751 4th Street right at the moment. The memory is well within its pumping capacity right now, so we have plans to update those, but not at this time. So this should not negatively affect that. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, further questions? Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, this is a public hearing. Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign in who wishes to testify in this matter? Okay, and I'll read the names of, you didn't sign in? All right, so I'll just read off the names that asked to testify, and if anybody who signed up not to testify changes their mind and wants to just raise your hand, let me know. So the first I have Chris Brown. If you want to go ahead and come up to the podium and state your name and address, please, sir.
Red, green, what?
Red.
It's on.
Red.
It's on. Perfect.
Red hot.
Coming to hearing aids in. So, Mayor, Councilman, thank you for having us. There's two things I'd like to ask before I get started on my time.
One is that Dave Coleman sent a letter. It should be in your packet. He showed up to testify last time, and he could not be here. He's on vacation. So we'd like to have that his letter read by staff. And secondly, Mike Machine and I are speaking on behalf of Iron Horse, and we showed up to testify last time, and the developers got their 10 minutes, and we didn't get to testify. We would like to have the 3 minutes from last meeting put on or give us 6 minutes apiece tonight. That's the two things that I'd like you to consider.
Well, what does council think? We have so only have three people signed up to testify, actually a fourth if Cindy wishes to testify. So if you want to give a little extra time.
I think so, where they're speaking on behalf of a group. It's rather than having eight people get up 3 minutes each.
Normally we don't, but
yeah,
it's up to council if you want to do that.
There's only two of us from Iron Horse that are, and we're both we both signed up to testify last time. We came to the meeting, and it was so.
Yeah.
Good enough to go?
Good enough to go.
All right. So, but the Dave Coleman, can somebody read his letter? You know, it can be done. It should be in your packet. He sent it in plenty of time. If not, I've got a copy, okay? He is a lot. My time hasn't started yet. He is a lot most affected right here on 9 and 10. His house is right across the deal right there.
Okay.
So he's very good. Okay. So how do I know where my time's at? Because I always run out of time.
It's started.
Thank you. All right. My name is Chris Brown. I live at 7670 South Old Farm Lane. Got those done. Let's start at the beginning. You know, our first meeting, neighborhood meeting, and I have to admit that, you know, we've tried to work together with the developer and the engineers, but all we heard at the first meeting is, minimum, this is CUNA's minimum. This is CUNA's minimum. This is CUNA's minimum. Well, we're living in $1.5 million shacks out there on acre lots. Minimum's not what we want to hear. You know, in the zest to sell sewer hookups in the CUNA city, you guys are having a real negative impact on the people that are already living there. I know this is 177 lots, but if they get their way, them and Bad Memory Ranch, Memory Ranch across the road, there could possibly be 1,500 to 2,000 homes out there a city amongst could sell. So we're real concerned about that. You know, Commissioner Christensen, you ran on smart growth, and I don't consider this to be smart growth. The two items that Iron Horse has asked me to talk about tonight is, one, the negative effect on our home values. The planning and zoning at our first planning, this is like our eighth meeting, our first planning and zoning, they recommended that the south border be R4 in a transition. Transition from RR1s to the R6s, they said they recommended that that be a R4 designation. Unfortunately, if you can have big lots, but if they put in the two-story houses, and she showed you all the nice pictures that they had, and here's the pictures.
And then the clerk will have to have one for the record over there.
Who has one?
I need one.
I'll just take a quick look. You can have this one if you want.
You can have one. You know, and it's a beautiful front ends. This is the backside that we're going to get to look at in Iron Horse, okay? So it's the two-story square box. You know, it looks like it was designed by a first grader. That's kind of what it looks like from the backside, and that's what we're going to get to look at. So what we would like you to do is to put a deed restriction on all the south lots so we don't have to look at two-story boxes, okay? We're sitting in a – we've got custom homes, and this is not a transition, and you're going to affect our property values immensely, and we're trying to lessen that load right now, and it's well within your power to do that. You know, we're going to have to look at it forever. I don't like to use the word forever, but this is forever, and this is what we're going to have to look at. The second thing they asked me to talk about tonight was the fencing issue. When they agreed to put in a chain-link fence all the way down the canal for safety, for irrigators, for whatever, but they agreed that to do that. They also agreed we wanted a berm with a fence on it, but they did agree, the developers agreed to, they'd put a 6-foot fence on it.
then planning comes in and says, well, they want to make a walkway out of that canal. You can't do that. I mean, that's a right-of-way for the canal company. You lived on a canal, Councilman Cardoza. You've tried to farm around it. We need a chain link on that fence on the canal, and we need a 6-foot fence on the back property line. So we're asking for that. It's a safety issue. These walkways that he's talking about, unless I was totally confused, Troy, the other night when you got done, you didn't want any fences at all. Okay, that's kind of where it was at. Well, maybe I misunderstood, but that's what we all came up with. These plans were made by, the developers will put a lot of pressure on the planning department. I get it. They want to get this thing rolling, but it's not fair. We're not in the club. We're not in the planner club, and we're not in the developer club, and so we're not getting involved. They're not putting us in the equation at all. I wanted to just don't let them put in another desert view out here, okay? I mean, I've lived through all this. I mean, I went to school here. My daughter Ellie's went to school here. I mean, I've lived in this area my whole life. And for God's sakes, let's have some common sense here and just, all work together and see if we can't come up with something that's amicable for everybody. Any questions?
Okay, questions for Chris?
Yeah, if clarification, you were talking about a 6-foot fence and a chain link fence.
Absolutely, they have a walkway between the two. Okay,
is that canal on the annexed property?
The canal is joint property, I believe, like most canals. The canal, it's the cunilateral. It starts over here and ends up over there. Okay,
does that split your property from their property?
Yes, it does. But they see our property can't put any trees or shrubs on it because it's canal right away. So they can't even put up a buffer.
I just got a logical question to ask. Why should they be responsible to put a chain link fence on your property?
Not on our property, on their side of the property, to keep the safety from their subdivision. You got 400 kids and they see a ditch, what are they going to do?
Gotcha. Thank you.
You bet.
You were talking about R4 to transition on the south lots. Are you talking about clear from the front end all the way to the back? Or?
That's what planning and zoning first recommendation was, to make an R4 designation all the way up the south side.
Okay. Further questions for Chris?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Richard Durant. Man, another famous person.
Richard Durant, 7592 South 10 Mile Road, Meridian. I live just across the proposed development. So my concerns are, as Chris brought out, first of all, the cunilateral is, as we've seen the development happen from Silver Trail, the cunilateral is a main pathway for people to be, everybody would like it to be a green belt, but just due to safety concerns and other issues to deal with, I regularly have to stop people from jogging down the canal across my zip line hill, and so I just am really right across there. The canal just comes right into my property, and we have to deal with the trespassers there and the safety issues. And so I think that I'm a strong proponent of a chain link fence to separate the property from the canal company right away. I think that's 20, I mean, it depends, 20, 25 feet there. And then, but I still feel like there's got to be no trespassing signs and other things. And as we go up into the corner, I mean, the whole thing of the C1 development, I mean, I appreciate there's been some change to city code, but I still envision what happened to Hubbard Road and Linder, that all of a sudden it's multifamily residential housing, and that would be right across from me. And how do we keep the people from getting on that what they would like to be a green belt and just continuing to block, I mean, I've got a pretty big pond over there that I use for irrigation, becomes a safety issue. And so I have mentioned to the developers, too, on the north end of their property, I have a drain ditch that has been there for as long as I've been alive, so longer than I care to think about. So, but I haven't seen any plans or how that's going to be addressed, as it's supposed to be a roadway, and to get that down to the Burke lateral, I guess, is the lateral at the far end there. So that's my concerns of how to deal with the safety issues from another 400 people or 600 people using that canal road as a right-of-way, because if there's no separation between their paved pathway and the green belt, everybody's just going to migrate onto the road, and they're going to be up to 10 mile and say, going east looks like a viable option for them. So thank you. I'll stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Richard?
Go ahead. Rich, do you have your land posted?
I do not have it posted.
Okay.
But it is fenced.
Do you think it would help to post it?
Personally, I've spent 3 years on the trespass laws, I don't think that it's going to help a bit.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Councilman.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Richard. Michael McShane? McShane. I'm sure I did it wrong. Well, I said it twice, so I had to have done it wrong at least once.
I'll take it. I've been called worse.
And if you would just state your name and address for
record. It's going. Name is Michael McShane, address 7982 South Old Farm Lane. Mayor and commissioners, or councilmen, I'd like to thank you for this time this evening and for giving us this forum in which to express our dismay with this proposed development and its negative impact on our homes. Iron Horse would like to acknowledge that after the first neighborhood meeting, Hayden Homes did change the plan, and they placed their open space next to our property. Interestingly enough, that was the place that it should have been in the first place if they were concerned about their having an impact on our homes. It is often the case that the first proposal will have something in there that the party is willing to give up with. Nevertheless, Iron Horse Subdivision would like to acknowledge and thank Hayden Homes for that change in their plan. Due to some unknown particulars of the future development, planning and zoning said, and everyone agreed, that there should be a transition zone that was definitely needed. Planning and zoning also further suggested, as Chris pointed out, that the entire south border should be R4. To this, Hayden Homes returned the next meeting with a plan that had, quote, R4 similar building lots on some of the south land. They also managed to stack them up on the southeast corner here so as to not impact in a negative way the number of building zones or building lots that they would have. And then along came the Iron Horse Sewer Lagoon problem, to which the Hayden Homes did respond to in their last P&Z meeting. To that problem, during that meeting, they did receive the go-ahead from P&Z. The problem with that meeting is that very little was done to address the Iron Horse concerns. It really did feel like the fix was in, the decision had been made, and this project was moving forward. In that meeting, Hayden Homes said that they had done their due diligence and had come up with a plan that minimized their impact on Iron Horse. Yet in that plan, they point homes right here, 9 and 10, at the closest point possible to an existing home in Iron Horse. Well, that didn't make any sense. Then we said, please, one thing we lobbied for was no two-story homes on this southern border because of what Chris showed you. To this, Hayden Homes had to say, these are custom-built sites, and we cannot possibly impose restrictions on what the future homeowners would like to build. Later on in that same meeting, Hayden Homes agreed that they had negatively impacted that one home in Iron Horse, Tim then agreed to make that home, that site, a single-level building site. It's interesting how they can, in the snap of a finger, place that restriction on that one building site, but they can't make any restrictions on the whole rest of that southern border. You, Mayor and Councilman, or you guys are the voice of reason this evening. Your decision on this will probably set a precedent for future cases in the times coming. We haven't got a lot of development out here, so this isn't the first time you're going to come across this. All Iron Horse is asking for some real concessions or restrictions that will give us a meaningful transition zone. To date, all we've really received is the moving of the green zone and one lot being a single level only lot. As Chris mentioned, Councilman Christensen, you ran on a platform of smart growth. Well, here's your chance, buddy, because we really would like to see some true transition zone. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
I do not.
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then that leaves Cindy Giesen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members.
If you'll say your address slowly, because I've got to write it down.
Okay. Sorry about that. I was fishing too long. My name is Cindy Giesen, and my address is 1363 South Ash Avenue, Cuna, Idaho.
Thank you.
Okay. I've been going through these plans and many others, and I have to say I'm opposed to this one because I feel it's incomplete. Okay, I'm familiar with our comprehensive plan, our CUNA comprehensive plan, and often in your paperwork you note things that have to do with buildings, and sections 2, sections 3, sections 4, but section 5 rarely gets attention. Section 5 addresses our schools and our children. And by the way, you'll be surprised I'm not talking about dark skies and lighting tonight. but I still like that. As I went through these documents and past hearings and such, I find that there was a pre-meeting with CUNA school districts, a pre-meeting with them and a couple other services in September 2020, but to date, I cannot find anything that says which schools are these going to impact. There's going to be about 120 more students if this is approved. And there's no records of which schools. I cannot find any feedback in the paperwork of a reply from CUNA. Typically, I'll see replies from the school district, and quite often they're saying, well, we can support those 10 openings now, but what about those 500 that haven't been built yet? You know, we're going to have a problem. And our comprehensive plan 5A1, it says, help ensure that CUNA school facilities meet increasing population demands, address future programs and facility needs, consider bus stop safety, the safety of the children. I don't see any of that in this one. Seek inputs from the CUNA school district. I need that to be transparent. We should all see, you know, which schools are going to be impacted with 120 or more children. The school district, when I see their replies, they're often, we can do it now, and they're often giving you requests. Could you help us with the bond? Could you help us with some impact fees? What happens if we can't get the people to vote on our two-year levy to keep us running? You know, if you need a new school, it's going to take 2 to 3 years, and I think we're getting low on middle schools right now, the intermediate one. So I feel like we should address that. The school district has a 2017 to 2027 10-year plan, and they have no idea, I don't think, of what's coming at them. And us taxpayers, we're the ones that are going to suffer. So that's my comments.
Okay, questions for Cindy?
No. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
I don't see that we had any comments from school district on this project, unless it came in with early on in planning and zoning or something, but I don't see any in our package.
Mr. Mayor,
yes,
for the record, Troy Buchanan. So the staff puts together what's called an agency comment request packet, and we do that before we do anything significant on the project. CUNA School District was right. The district that was it was sent the packet of information just like ACHD and everybody else, and there was not a timely response from them about this project specifically.
That's what I said, only shorter.
I was confirming what you were saying.
Thank you, Troy. I appreciate that. And then there was a request to read in Dave Coleman's letter. So I will go ahead and do that. This is from David and Beverly Coleman, 7578 South Old Farm Lane, Meridian, Idaho. He starts out by calling us honorable, so I don't know if we want to read that actually. Thank you for affording us the opportunity to express our concerns in absentia regarding the proposed annexation and approval of Arrowwood Heights subdivision construction, as we are unable to attend the City Council meeting of September 21, 2021. On behalf of my wife, Beverly Coleman, I refer to ourselves, myself, in the first person in some instances. The purpose of this correspondence is to oppose approval of the annexation and Arrowwood development as submitted, as we believe the representatives, developers of Hayden Homes may have been disingenuous, if not untruthful, to members of Planning and Zoning Commission as well as the City Council. The following are some of our concerns, which we hope council members will consider and act upon. Approval of the development as submitted will cost us significant loss of property as well as financial loss due to the potential decrease of our property's value as new homes encroach on our privacy, space, and views. As members may recall, the above-referenced item was previously presented to the City Council for approval. After community input and recommendations for the Planning and Zoning Commission, we heard and memorialized requiring numerous changes to Hayden Homes' proposal dated April 27, 2021. Those changes were submitted by representatives of Hayden Homes to the Council on the night of its meeting June 15th, and prior to public comment, without review of Planning and Zoning representatives, Mr. Tim Mauka of Hayden Homes stood before you and testified those changes have been made in the spirit of planning and zoning recommendations. He later implored that the council not remand the issue back to planning and zoning as too many delays have been incurred. Members of the council of their own accord and conscience, but with also a recommendation of the city attorney, did remand the issue back to planning and zoning for further review and public comment. We thank the council for its prudent and correct decision. Recently, on August 10, 2021, the Planning and Zoning Commission again heard the proposal. Ms. Wendy Schrieff of JUB Engineers, on behalf of Hayden Homes, told the members of the Planning and Zoning Commission no new home will directly oppose an existing Iron Horse property. Following Ms. Schrieff's opening statement, our neighbor, Ms. Patty Garofalo, addressed the commission and asked whether developer Hayden Homes had responded to the rectified and rectified the commission's requirements to change lot sizes along the canal opposite our homes adjacent to the proposed properties, from their original R8 to the R4 as previously required by Planning and Zoning Commission. Hayden Holmes later responded, the lots are for like. Regarding Ms. Sharif's statement that no new home will oppose an existing Iron Horse property, please refer to the planning and zoning packet provided by Hayden Holmes, page 57 of 169 of the PDF, which is an aerial photograph of the concerned properties juxtaposed to the proposed development. Although the depiction is regarding distances from the septic holding pond, which is an additional issue, the image clearly shows that Hayden Holmes lots number 9 and 10 clearly oppose the view of our backyard looking directly into our private patio area as well as the rear yard of Ms. Garofalo. When I was provided the opportunity to address the Planning and Zoning Commission, I asked item figure number 57 be brought up on the video screen and pointed to this discrepancy to the commission members. Following my comments and objections, Mr. Mauka was again heard and quickly responded that lot 9 slightly intruded, but we will make it a single-story lot. This lot, however, will effectively invade half of the view of our yard patio image, and that a new fenced home was dropped in the middle of your backyard looking directly. Imagine that a new fenced home was dropped in the middle of your backyard looking directly into your private area. In prior discussions with Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council, Iron Horse residents requested minimally an 8-foot fence be required to retain our privacy along the canal. However, we were severely limited in our options. It was learned at the Planning and Zoning meeting that the City of CUNA regulations prohibit such a fence in order to prevent incidents. Therefore, only a 4-foot fence with 2-foot lattice would be required or allowed. We understand there will be significant increase in pedestrian, bicycle, and skateboard traffic along the CUNA Canal and the proposed walkway. We are severely limited in our ability to limit or mitigate intrusion of views into our patio area. Because the CUNA Canal abuts our property, we may not plant trees, shrubs, or limit or obscure views of proposed homes. Nor may we build a privacy fence along the canal in front of our patio. Further, Mr. Mauka's testimony regarding the lot size changes opposing existing Iron Horse properties, may I again reference his comments that those changes have been made in the spirit of planning and zoning recommendations. The City of CUNA's website defines R8 as residential area not to exceed 8 dwelling spaces per acre, and R4 not to exceed 4 dwelling units per acre. If you will please refer to the image submitted herein, the plat specs of homes submitted by Hayden Home indicates lots 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 adjacent to our homes are described as 66 foot by 105.8 feet. Generally accepted definition of an acre is 43,560 square feet. An acre divided by 4 dwellings is 10,890. And the lots proposed by Hayden Homes are approximately 6,996 square feet, a difference of 3,894 square feet per lot. In our opinion, these lot sizes are not R4-like, and representatives of Hayden Homes are being disingenuous, if not deceptive. On behalf of ourselves, neighbor Patty Garofalo, and other members of Iron Horse Neighborhood, we request you again review Hayden Homes' development proposal. We understand the rights of the sellers to gain monetarily and developers to do the same. But we insist that you hold developers accountable to their word and commitments made to the residents of Iron Horse Properties, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the City Council. To maintain the commitment made that no new home will directly oppose an Iron Horse property, We request minimally that lots 9 and 10 be removed from the development proposal and the proposed green space to be extended to cover those lots. We are not requesting the removal of these lots to be punitive, but in a spirit of fairness to us and the other Iron Horse neighbors whose views as well as property values will be impacted by the Arrowwood development. We thank you in advance for your consideration in this matter. Did I go over my 3 minutes? I believe I did. Mostly because I got tongue-tied. Oh, I got the rest of your time? Okay. All right. Did council have any further questions for any of the presenters before we bring up the applicant again?
No.
Did everybody get to testify that wanted to? Does it pertain to this matter?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll need to sign up to testify.
Okay. Do I need to sign something? Troublemaker.
All right. Well, give me your name and address. What's your name?
Teresa. T-E-R-E-S-A.
I'm sorry.
T-E-R-E-S-A. Last name is Halderson. H-A-L-D-O-R-S-O-N. 8066 South Buffalo Creek Lane, in the city of Kuna, but with a Meridian address. I live in the Danskin Ridge neighborhood. On my way here, turning on Columbia, turning left on 10 Mile, traffic was backed up at that new light on 10 Mile and Columbia all the way back to the Big D Ranch. So my question is, knowing that that neighborhood that's going to be across from the Big D Ranch, how is that going to impact traffic? Is there going to be a roundabout at 10 Mile and Columbia?
Did you look at the packet at all?
I haven't seen it. No, that's why I was asking.
So there's a transportation study in there.
Okay.
And it would take a really long time to explain the traffic study. I don't know if...
Okay. I will look at that's what I asked.
I mean, we can go through that if you really want to.
No,
but
I'll go look at it.
It is in the packet.
I didn't even know there was a packet, so thank you.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thank you. All right. I think we're ready for the applicant for rebuttal.
Oh, a lot of handouts. I don't want to give them everybody one. I want to keep them all.
Anyone else?
And one for the big man down there.
Ooh, color. All right.
Oh, you found one the same.
Can I help you?
Okay, good evening again. Wendy Shreve with JUB Engineers. And I'm going to touch on a couple things. First, with any project in the Ada County Highway District, we have more than 100 lots. You're required to do a transportation impact study. It's about a six-month process with ACHD. It's a pretty iterative process. We end up making several changes per the ACHD TIS review and comment period. We have a TIS which has been approved by ACHD, and our project has been deemed as acceptable. Later, there will be fees assessed by ACHD, road improvements that we're making. And as a part of this project, we are putting in a mid-mile collector, which is this road, an expensive road, along the north of our property that we are putting in half section plus 12. On the northern part of our property, but we do have a TIS which has been approved by the ACHD staff and by the ACHD Commission, and that's all part of your packet. I'm going to walk you through what we're proposing to do with fencing. I think it's basically exactly what the neighbors had wanted us to do. If you look, there are two segments. There's an A segment and a B segment. The A segment is closer to where the residents in Iron Horse Subdivision live. If you look at this, the Cuna Canal is on the south side of this property. That's immediately adjacent to the neighbors in Iron Horse. We are proposing that there will be, so it's canal, there's an access road. We will put in a 6-foot solid vinyl privacy fence. Then there will be our regional pathway that we're putting in. And then on the other side of that will be a 4-foot vinyl fence with a lattice. So that is what we are doing in Section A, which is the area that is closest to Iron Horse. In Section B, which is going to be adjacent to future development if the Guido property develops, we have a slightly different section where we have Cuna Canal. Then we have a access road, a 6-foot vinyl privacy fence, and then we have a 4-foot solid vinyl fence with a 2-foot lattice on top. So that is what we are proposing where we're in Section B, which is next to the Guido property if that were to ever develop. So this is what we'll be putting in. I think it's very close to what the neighbors had suggested to make sure we're maintaining their privacy along that canal. The pathway we're putting in is a part of your regional pathway system. So we are happy to do it. We think it's a big asset. It is the sort of thing where I think it is good to take, to have fencing and to make sure we're maintaining that. And we're happy to put up no trespassing signs that the neighbor had suggested. Now we have Jeff Bauer from our team is going to go ahead and hit on a couple of the other things that were brought up.
Thank you, Wendy. Mayor Steer, Council, it's great to be back in CUNA. It's been a while. You guys have made a lot of upgrades since I was here last, and we were holding our iPhones doing Facebook Live, so it's nice to be here. I do just want to briefly address some of the comments tonight from our neighbors to the south, as well as the Colemans that submitted a letter. I think what I heard in Mr. Coleman's letter and the testimony from Mr. McShane and Mr. Brown tonight was what I view as a pretty solid list of concessions that have already been made by this developer. Sitting over there coming to this project a little bit late, I feel like they were sort of making my case for me. You know, we've moved lots. We've agreed not to build on certain lots. We've enlarged lots. All the things that I think this council typically does to developments like this to provide a transition. We've already done that, and I think what we're asking for tonight is approval of the plan as submitted, no more adjustments. We've been before you before. We've been to P&Z twice to make these accommodations. I do just want to point out a couple things. I'll stand for any questions if you have any, Mayor and Council.
So can you address the, it sounds like the request to make the, all the southern lots R4 has been addressed. However, it's obvious it's not R4 on the southern border. Can you talk to that a little bit about what concessions were made there?
Mayor Steer, thank you for the question. That was the first point I was going to make when the timer went off. I think it'd be best to illustrate it over here on the map, so I'm going to walk over. So the Iron Horse subdivision, right, it really only extends to, not too far into our property boundary. I think Wendy could probably point exactly where, but, you know, somewhere in here. So as to this section over here, Mayor Steer, can you see where I'm pointing? I'm sorry, I can't see your face.
Yeah.
We are not buffering there. South of us is the canal, and then property owned by Mr. Guido. And there's comments in the record from him that he fully intends to build out his property, develop it. It's also designated as mixed use in the comp plan. So we anticipate that everything to the south over here will develop out at similar densities or with even commercial or mixed uses. So we aren't buffering there. What we agreed to do was buffer the lots that are adjacent to Iron Horse, which we have them. And P&Z asked that those be R4-like or R4 style. Your city code sets the minimum lot size of R4 at 6,600 square foot lots. These are all 6,600 plus. I
believe they're 67.5. So we are meeting the spirit of the R4 designation.
Okay, and then, so, Troy, just for clarification, the sizing of an R4 lot also takes into consideration roadways and that type of thing, right? So that's why the,
correct,
the size is actually smaller than what the math would be for.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Further questions for the applicant? None at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Chris, did you get one of these? And it's quite similar to the other ones, but.
And before we close, I do have a question for Paul.
Okay.
I think before we close any discussion, I do have one more question for you, Paul. Sorry, sir. There's a concern that CUNA Fire put out regarding the water supply, fire suppression lines. And I want to read from it. It's the best way I can ask my question. It says, we do have concerns with water suppression, water supply, fire suppression, water supply, neighboring developments have been passing the fire flow requirements with the slimmest of margins. This area of the CUNA domestic water system is on the outreaches of its designs. And many areas are on single dead-end main lines. Although some of the neighboring developments have passed the minimum fire suppression water flow requirements, we are nearing a crisis situation where future development may demand water flows that will put the whole area deficient of the required fire suppression water supply flow requirements. Just that statement alone kind of puts a lot into question that portion of the serviceability of this neighborhood if approved. Do you have any insight to what the deputy fire marshal at the time was speaking to?
Mayor and Council, this is Paul, City Engineer.
Yes.
I'm glad to ask that question. We've actually been very proactive on working on this one, and we have, we're almost finished with well number 12, which will actually feed to this area. Also, do you want me to put that up more? Are you happy now? Okay. It's sliding away. Also, the way this is configured will go up through Iron Horse, and there is an easement, a utility easement at the end that will allow the two subdivisions to connect. This will actually improve fire flow and water quality in Iron Horse, and then it will go around and connect to the water in 10 Mile and create one of the loops that Reggie was thinking we needed to have. Okay. In another instance, which was actually slightly before he wrote this letter, he was testing the doing a fire flow in Memory Ranch, and it was just marginally and barely there. But then one of our other wells kicked on because they drained so much out, and all of a sudden he had 90 PSI. So our system is working fine at the moment, and it is cause for concern in that we need to be proactively working towards solutions for now and for the future, and we are doing that. So I believe we are in good condition to accept this.
Great. Thank you.
Further questions? More study?
No, for myself.
So if we were able to all of a sudden restrict one lot to the height designation, I don't even remember which one it was, why can't we do all of those along there? Or maybe not us, the builder.
For which lots to do what to?
Well, along the southern border where we were talking, R4-like or whatever.
Okay.
They said that they made the first one. I don't know what number it was there. It was 9. Thank you, audience. That they height-restricted that one to a single story. What, in an effort to be good, why couldn't they do all of those on that southern border? You know, and maybe in that whole first section or something.
So your request would be to make all homes on the southern border single story?
Well, yeah, at least maybe from that first street. I think it was called Mooney Inn. Because they said they did the one to appease the one neighbor, but why not do all of them so that it doesn't affect any of them? Is that something we can impose or just ask nice of them to do? Or
I think you can condition what you like.
Very good.
Mayor?
Yes?
Could I ask for a legal suggestion on that issue? The reason I ask is at one time down 10 Mile and Mason Creek Road, the city tried to impose a single story along 10 Mile. We were told we couldn't do it.
Okay, then that sounds like a good question.
So,
Mark Vibey, city attorney. I'm going to punt a little to Troy and Jace on this because they're going to be more familiar with your building code standards and zoning code standards than I am. But ultimately, it's whether or not, you know, for this type of development, what's being presented here, does the city have it within their code to say these have to be one story? If they don't, the scenario I think we're in is asking if this developer will make that concession to essentially put a plat note restricting those to one story, unless we can point to code authority that says we can restrict it, because we can't go and impose a restriction that we don't have within our code. And so that would be my advice, and I hope Jace or Troy can answer, come in on the part I wasn't sure on.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Jay Simon, Community Planning Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. Our code does not have an ability for us to require single story. The only way that we can require single story is through potential development agreement action if the applicant is open to that. However, like Mark said, you guys are able to ask if that is a concession the applicant will make, and then we would be able to add that as a condition.
So it can be added as a condition.
If the applicant is or concedes to adding that, it can be. Otherwise, we would have to probably back this out and look into a development agreement to which then we're authorized the right to make those sort of modifications, but otherwise our code does not permit us to make those.
You're saying, Jace, it cannot be mandated?
It cannot be as a arbitrary condition of the council. It would have to come as a request to the applicant, and they would have to okay it. Otherwise, the other route to do it is through development agreement, but that's typically done as a condition of the zoning in the beginning of the process.
Thank you, Jason.
So that sounds like the best route would be for you to ask the applicant if they would be willing to do that.
Okay.
If I may follow up with that too.
Yes.
There is an annex that Mark Bybee, city attorney, I'm on a roll. Because this is an annexation pending as well, that gives you the ability to ask for the development agreement, but that, like Jay said, that's going to push us back in the process because normally the development agreement would have been started some time ago. And so obviously that's, I think, a negotiation point between you and the applicant as to whether or not they'd be willing to make the concession.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
I'm really glad I could help.
Did we close public hearing?
No. No, we're still able to ask questions.
So, Mr. President, are you going to ask for the concession?
Well, I'm still looking at something
here. Okay.
Does anyone have anything else, or are you waiting on me?
I think other people are looking, too, still, so.
How big of a house can you put on 6,700 square feet if it's one story? Who would be the person to ask?
Jace might know the answer to that.
Question for you. How big of a single-story house can you put on 6,700 square feet?
So Kuna City Code, Councilmember Lairway, Mr. Barham, for the record, Jace Hellman, Kuna Planning Zoning Director. The Kuna City Code requires a maximum of 40% lot coverage in the R8, R6, R4 density. So on a 6,600 square feet house, you got to still maintain 5-foot setbacks on the side, 15 in the rear, and then 20 in the front. Probably could it get anywhere from a 40%. So thank you for the calculator. Let's do some math here. About 2,600 square foot house.
Okay, thank you.
But they have
ground level.
It's 40% for lot coverage, so you can have a 60 or.
Okay, so I guess my question would be to the developer that apparently the fencing issues have been resolved based on your handout. That was a big item. The R4 transitions was explained sort of, kind of, in my opinion. I would like to request that you put a condition on all southern properties from the street of, is it Mooney, I believe, Avenue to the west on the southern border be single-story builds, if that is permissible in your plan.
Mayor Steer.
Yes.
Council Member McPherson, Jeff Bauer, 601 West Bannock. I want to direct your attention to the exhibit that Wendy provided you during her rebuttal.
Okay.
I think that's probably the best frame of reference for us to talk about this issue. And I do just want to step back and say we're talking about 170 future residents of the city of Kuna that we're trying to accommodate two county lots that are existing homes. So Iron Horse is a long, narrow subdivision. There are only two of their lots that front on the property at issue that's being subdivided. We already removed all of the lots fronting on one of those houses and replaced it with our common space. We restricted lot 9 to a single-story home to maintain their view. And what I've been authorized to concede is one further lot, lot 10, which is adjacent to lot 9, we would agree to restrict to single-story. So at that point, these folks, we're talking about, again, one house in the county that is approximately 60 feet of setback from the home that we're going to construct. We think that that's more than reasonable. And again, we've been, I want to point out that the common area in this location isn't ideal for us. That was something that Mr. McShane indicated. He said, oh, they put it in the center just so they could negotiate later and move it. That's not the case. All of you know all these subdivisions, common area should be centralized so that everyone has equal access to it. This is something that we did as an accommodation, bending over backwards. And if you look at the comments from your former economic development director, she made that comment. She said, I'd like to see this common area more centralized. But because of requests from two county residents, we moved that. So again, we're willing to restrict on our plat lot 10, which is the last lot that is adjacent in any way to an Iron Horse plat, and that's kind of as far as we're willing to go. Again, we want to provide a mix of housing types. That's not just R4, R6, R8. That's single story, two story, and again, these are for your future residents.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Position. We'll
just close public hearing and
go to deliberation amongst each other.
Mayor.
Yes.
I have a question, and I'm not sure if Jace could answer it, but what is a peak shoulder hours? Ada County Highway District directs in a few sentences, they talk about shoulder peak shoulder hours. Do you have any idea what that is?
Councilmember Cardoza, Mr. Mayor, for the record, Jay Salmon, Kuna Planning Zoning Director. The peak shoulder hours is the shoulder may be a typo, but when they talk about the peak trip hours, it's typically the height of traffic in a day. So usually they look at peak PM hours for their largest amount of trips per day, and that's typically the evening rush hour where they will pick that level of service standard from.
Okay. I don't know about the rest of the council, but the more I read the synopsis from Ada County Highway District, in one sentence it'll say that it is close to meeting the traffic conditions at the intersections of Columbia and Lake Hazel. Then I go further on, and it says that it will not meet it by the year 2026. Then it even goes further to say that Columbia and 10 Mile in 2040, they'll be able to put it into their budget. Did anybody else get that? Where I really didn't feel that they were giving me an answer as to whether 10 Mile can carry the traffic load in the near future as opposed to today or tomorrow.
Right. Well, and Richard, I want to jump right in there to keep that conversation flowing, because I was reading the same thing, and you nailed it in that it seemed like one sentence was here and then one sentence was in a different level. And they didn't just say it was going to, you know, be at a bad level. It says it will operate at an unacceptable level of service. But based on their five-year work plan, a traffic signal could be put there to help alleviate that. But it was confusing to me to kind of decipher whether or not that intersection could handle even the start of the build for it or not, just based on the study. So I wasn't.
Did you feel that Ada County had acknowledged a traffic signal at that intersection by the year 2026 when this subdivision is to be built out in all four phases?
Well, yeah, that this was definitely a concern I had, but I think my focus was really on a few other things too, so I'm glad you brought it up to remind me of what I was reading there, but the same question.
Well, I think it's always hard for them to comment exactly on when projects are going to happen because they're dependent on impact fees and other projects. We get X amount of dollars per year based on impact fees. Sometimes those funds get moved from Linder Road projects to 10 Mile projects to, I think they've always said that the width of the road doesn't matter quite as much as long as we can keep traffic flowing through the intersections. And so I think they're putting more priority on that. The one thing we've been working with, and Jace and his team have done a good job this year bringing that around, is to get ACHD to concentrate on road segments rather than little intersections and just a small portion of one roadway. They're actually looking at a completing road segments. So 10 Mile Road, taking care of the gaps in 10 Mile Road, get that done, and then we can move on to maybe an east-west road or something like that. So I think Jace has done a really good job with his team at working with ACHD to complete projects rather than do little segments that affect one subdivision and not an entire roadway, because that is a lot of our problem right now is traffic gets jammed up. You may be able to come out of the subdivision good, but once you get on that roadway, then you get into other areas that are problematic. So I think that's probably why they're a little hesitant to say exactly when that's going to happen, and it probably changes in their comments with the traffic studies and so on and so forth. That's my guess.
Okay, where I am, Mayor, is page 109 of 175. It is the executive summary from Ada County Highway District, page 15. Basically, the last paragraph says, the segment of 10 Mile Road from the Lake Hazel Road to the new collector roadway is expected to exceed the LOS, which would be a D/E in the AM peak hour. So, again, it goes from a latitude of it's permissible just barely by 4% to basically it won't be. And I'm not sure that in the five-year planning they have any traffic signals figured for those intersections. Are we putting more traffic on 10 Mile that 10 Mile can sustain on the subdivisions? Pretty much the last two sentences of that third paragraph, potential alternative mitigation that could be implemented to increase capacity of the facility from a multimodal standpoint to a sidewalk connection with the subdivision to the north. I don't understand what in the hell a sidewalk has to do with the road.
Mayor
Chris.
Edison from HHD would like to speak. He's on Zoom.
Oh, okay.
You're muted, Edison.
Edison. Really quiet. We can't hear you.
A little louder.
Can you put your microphone right by the speaker of the computer, maybe?
It's not you, Edison.
Okay. Just
try now, Edison.
Try now, Edison.
No, Edison, they can't. That's us, not you. Mm-hmm. Chase, do you have your phone with you? Do you have Jace's work number? His cell number?
Have him call.
Are you ready?
Ensign, do you have access to your email with you right now? It's in my signature line. Yep.
This better be earth-shattering.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I think so.
Perfect. Can you hold that up to your mic?
It'll create the echo.
Oh.
Is it better now?
He is muted. It's
mm-hmm. He's probably in Boise. If he just talks really loud, we can probably hear him.
Could he jump in the car and run over?
I keep kicking that cluster of wires. One of these days I'm going to knock it out of there. Last thing is you don't have to listen to me read ordinances tonight, right? Although that letter wore me out.
Yeah, that was a lot.
You get the Richard fix it.
Edison, will you say something? Will you unmute? No, never mind. Thank you.
That's what my wife says to me all the time. Never mind.
The last time I had an update, I had to have these people come on again.
So you can just do mic and lower the volume. Do mic. Is that okay? It will still reverb through obviously the speaker.
It's the top speakers.
Lower the volume.
Take him 7 hours.
And Jace, just for giggles, just try to map mic.
Let's see what that works.
Yeah. Let's see. Lower the volume.
All right, Edison, can you give me a test? Oh, speaker.
Test, watches. 1, 2, 3.
Lost in space. Never seen any of that.
If you can't hear it, Richard, you're the one with the questions.
You should just try viewing the Zoom meeting and just go right through the phone.
It isn't the Zoom that's causing it, it's the reverberation from his phone through the mic system that runs through his fingers.
Right,
that's
so.
It's called reverberation.
Oh, I see, okay.
Jason, would you ask him if Ada County Highway District on their 5-year work plan includes a traffic signal in that intersection?
Edison, did you catch that at all?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Steer, Council Cardosa. For clarification, can you specify 10 Mile in Columbia is the intersection you referred to, right? Or is it the...
It's 10 Mile and Lake Hazel is the one I'm looking at. Even though your conclusion and recommendations says that a signal be installed to improve operations and would be warranted in 2026, which is 5 years out, it is not in your 5-year work plan. Signal, it would be a LOSB.
is not in your five-year planning work plan?
City Council members, the 10-mile in the case was currently the integrated ferry work plan. Just not with the construction yet.
So this traffic impact study would not be a part of a five-year work plan until approved, if that's kind of your question.
But we don't know well, if it would
this,
be approved.
This project, if it's not approved, then this traffic impact study doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Thank you, Edison.
Richard, I think you're in the same mindset I'm in that from that standpoint, nothing is saying that it is going to be done, but that there might be something done. But if nothing's done, they've said it themselves that it is at an unacceptable level of service, LOSF. So this is an assumption. And based on just the way conversations have gone and stuff, it's hard to work off assumptions. It's hard to make decisions off assumptions and, you know, things that pertain to these developments. So you bring up a valid point with that, and I think it's a concern we've talked about before with assumptions or something that's not actually decided on.
It's not concrete.
It's not concrete.
From my understanding, it would be an LOSE, which is unacceptable with the Ada County Highway District. So, 5 year 2026, which is their build out expectation. So,
you know, I'll hold my thoughts for deliberation. I don't have any questions for the public hearing.
Okay. Further questions?
I don't have any.
I make a motion that we deny.
Close those. We need to close stuff first.
Yeah, we got to close the public hearing. Okay, Council, you want to hear from the applicant on traffic impact study? Okay, yes, go ahead.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. Mayor Steer, Council, Jeff Bauer, 601.
Red button.
There you go. 601 West Bannock in Boise. Unfortunately, our traffic engineer is not here tonight to really dive into these issues, but I have read ACHD's report, and I just wanted to point a couple things out to you. First, as you all know, these subdivision applications have a dual approval. So the city is the lead land use agency, but ACHD also reviews all plats in Ada County. We've already gone to ACHD, and they have approved this plat. So in their mind, their roads can accommodate this project. And again, lead land use agency, and I've been here before talking with you, this council, minus council member Lairway, and I've heard this council say that many times, you know, we defer to ACHD, which is, I think, the way it should be. But more to the point, there are concerns raised in ACHD's, in their report that's in your packet. But as to the intersection of Lake Hazel and 10 Mile, that is planned to be not only widened but signalized by 2026. And that would be page 2 of that report that you're looking at from ACHD. So it's not in the integrated work plan for the five-year plan, but it is in their capital improvements plan. The intersection of Lake Hazel Road and 10 Mile Road is scheduled in the five-year work plan to be widened to 4 lanes on the north leg, 3 lanes on the south leg,
four lanes east, three lanes on the west, and reconstructed, signalized between 2021 and 2025. So before our build-out year. I appreciate Mr. Edison's comments, but they cover a lot of hearings and they have a million of these staff reports, so I don't blame him for not seeing that, but that is the case as to the intersection. So, if you turn back to the conclusion you are reading, Councilmember Cardoza, it says that very thing in the first paragraph. I'll get there myself here. If you bear with me. Maybe. 19. Paragraph 1. So a signal is warranted in 2026 is ACHD's conclusion in that first paragraph. And that when that's done, the intersection will function at a level of service B, which is very high. And I guess I don't have anything else to add except we all make planning decisions based on our partner agencies' expectations of when they'll do things. If we waited for roads to be built before we approved any houses, we'd never have any houses.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mayor.
Well, Council, we, you can table and come back another night if you want to do some more consideration, or we can stay here a lot, too, or if you got more questions. If you don't have any more questions, then we probably ought to close the public hearing.
I don't have any more questions.
Whatever.
I don't.
Good. And I'm not trying to be pushy. I just
wanna... No, no. I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second that. I didn't hear it.
Motion is made to close the evidence presentation and move to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? Those in favor?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah?
No,
go ahead.
We can proceed to deliberation. We've got to vote on that first.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. All right.
This is if I may, Mayor. This is kind of where I have to look at this situation, and that we're looking at both an annexation and a pre-plat. And I have to look at this the same way I view everything that comes in front of us for annexations and the serviceability of a potential parcel of land to the city that is going to come to fruition if we do annex this. Based on the things I've heard when it comes to the serviceability from the lift station with upgrades that do have to occur, the concern that Ms. Giesen brought up when it came to the schooling out here, albeit they did not speak to this development, I think it is easy to remember what's been said about them in the past and that they are nearing capacity, and every development that's currently being built out, they really don't know what that's going to do to the schools, putting that back on the taxpayers. I think she worded that great. And I think that based on those things, I simply just have to really just focus in on the annexation if it's right for the city at this time.
John, what do you think?
I didn't catch the last part of what you said. I was thinking about something else. Well, no, I'm just saying, John, I think it's wise to just focus in on the annexation and looking at the timing of this with the neighborhood this size and development that's potentially coming from it. So
I completely agree. The annexation's what's in front of us.
The annexation, exactly.
Um, And I agree with you that we have to make decisions based on what's going to happen down the road. Right? We can't foresee or control ACHD and their decision process of when they're going to improve, when they're not going to improve. That's their decision in 5 years from now. I know the lights that came in at Lake Hazel, Columbia and 10 Mile and Columbia and Linder were more forced in by the school because of the traffic for the school district. We can't force that to be a situation to 10 Mile Lake Hazel. Actually, I'm kind of twofold on this. I'll ramble on here a minute. The subdivision that's to the south, to me, there's only two houses that are affected. The rest of them are far enough down the lane that the view out their back door. Sounds kind of stupid, but it just doesn't seem like it doesn't affect the rest of the subdivision. I am concerned about the sewer from DEQ because I know what on the road at Buffalo, they had to get rid of that pond, and they ended up they were forced onto our sewer system. That's why I was wondering if there was a life expectancy on that pool. Right now, I don't think we're ready for this. Without ACHD being a little bit more affirmative on what they're going to do, school systems not responding to what we believe or think their needs should be. But again, it's hard to tell the subdivision no when they have everything they have on the paper. But again, this is about the annexation. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Richard? How about correct you if you're right?
Richard, after hearing ACHD.
You know what, this computer,
there we go.
This computer, I am still trying to find page 2. I'm sorry. When I think I'm getting close, it just goes to the end.
Where do you want to go?
I want page 2 of Ada County. Look.
Well, okay. Don't press that button. Don't push down.
I'm not pressing it.
Push that button.
Okay, where do you want to go?
The summary from Ada County Highway District, page 2.
What's the overall page of that, Troy?
Overall
page.
Did you check it on page 112?
Are you talking about the executive summary of the traffic impact study?
Yes.
Is that where you want to be?
I believe.
Just use these. Don't touch them.
No.
Just use these.
That's what he's referencing before.
Okay. Chris, were you able to find it?
Yep.
Okay.
Are you where you want to be?
I think it's this one here that he's talking about.
Well, at some point in time, if council would like, we can actually have a workshop with Ada County Highway District again and have some discussions.
Number 9.
It might be good to get some clarification.
That would be good.
So that you know more. Because honestly, reading traffic impact studies are.
Okay.
That's the executive summary. Like beating
your head against the wall unless you're an engineer and you want to read all those things.
Geek out on that, yeah.
So it might be good at some point if we do a. We are going to do a workshop with water and sewer and PI again so that we can. Because a lot has changed since we've done that last time. So
sure.
Get you a little more caught up on projects. So it sounds like we need to talk to ACHD again. And
yeah.
Go down.
Winter's coming. It's a good time to do that.
Where's this report?
Page 65 of 175, I think, is what he's looking for. That's not
there?
It.
Right there? That's what it is. See?
You were referencing the traffic impact study from earlier, though, Richard.
Yeah.
You happy?
Nine. Okay. I'm happy.
You get it?
Yeah, I'm happy, she says.
So. Okay.
You know, to add more confusion on the capital improvement plan, integrated five-year work plan, it says there are no roadways, bridges, or intersections in the general vicinity of the project that are in the integrated five-year work plan. Then it goes on to say the intersection of Lake Hazel Road and 10 Mile is scheduled to be widened to 4 lanes on the north leg, 3 legs on the south, 4 on the east, and 3 on the west, and reconstructed signal between 21 and 25. So how in the hell is it saying that there are no roadways, bridges, or intersections in the general vicinity of the project that are in the five-year work plan, and then turn around and say that it's included in the 2021 to 25.
All right. Well, I think again that we're talking about a project that hasn't been approved, so they're not looking at that for a five-year work plan. The roadway sections are being looked at, but things that would be impacted by this project aren't in a five-year work plan because it's not included because it's not approved yet. So I think we're probably confusing the two issues as far as what they're saying is there and what they're saying isn't there. So I just contradicted myself again, didn't I?
So yes, you did.
Now because you're more confused than
because
you were before
I spoke. It's addressing 2021 to 2025, saying that there are no projects in that five-year work plan. I just don't think the 10-mile road is sufficient for this subdivision, is basically what I'm saying. Oneida County Highway District is not giving me any confirmation on a signal for that intersection. So.
Well, I think at some point here we need to have a workshop with Oneida County Highway District and the council so that we can be better informed on what those things look like and what we're looking at, because again, the traffic impact studies, trying to read those is, unless you're an engineer, those are difficult to maneuver through. So,
well, what I hear from my constituents is we need to slow down growth. I turned to Ada County to see what they say, and they throw up a smoke screen of saying, yeah, everything's okay south of Ada County, but we're 5 to 10 years, in fact 30 years out on some of these projects. So they're saying go ahead, make a decision, but don't basically include us because we may not be doing anything out there, even with the impact fees they get, to alleviate our traffic problems out here. So, in fact, I would love to see Ada County start attending our city council meetings because their decisions weigh very heavily on our decisions, and their information that they give us, their input, has a big bearing on our decisions. It would be nice. At one time, they used to attend our city council meetings years ago, and I don't know, I guess they got tired of paying per diem for their mileage. I have no idea.
So, well, I think we can request it, and I'm sure that Edinson would be more than happy to attend meetings. If we give him advance notice that we're going to have some meetings out here that need ACHD comment, I mean, we haven't even talked about a subdivision for a while, so it doesn't make sense for him to come out for
sure
some of that stuff. But if we give him advance notice, I'm sure he's more than happy to come out. Yes,
just Mark Bybee, city attorney. With some of what I'm hearing, just something I want to put out there as a consideration. If there's concerns about some inconsistencies with the traffic impact study and what's said in there, and if the council needs clarity on that, I think it would be appropriate to consider a continuance to get an ACHD person to here to offer clarification, because ultimately if what the council requires is in there and it's just issues with how it's been drafted and prepared and presented, I wouldn't want to base a decision, especially if it's a denial decision, on not having a good, you know, report before you that was comprehensible where it might satisfy what you're looking for, if that makes sense. And so that's kind of something, if we're moving towards a final decision, final action here, with what I'm hearing about ACHD's traffic impact study, I'm like, gosh, maybe we need to get them here, because what happened with Edinson on the phone wasn't real clear to me. And so just want to throw it out there. If you feel like you have your answers with what you have, okay. But if it's you don't have your answers and the decision's based on an unclear report, that's a concern to me. And I'd say the same thing with the school district as well. No comment. If we're going to base it on that, and if the district actually supplied a comment that was supportive, that would be a concerning basis, you know, the absence of a comment to say, we're going to base it on that one, that ultimately maybe they provide a supportive one. So, I mean, it's problems that have been created by the commenting agencies, but if we're going to base our decisions on the commenting agencies, I'm concerned if we don't have the full understanding of their comments or even have comments, it's definitely a concern to make a decision on that basis.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I do think that we've seen a lot of these come through, and we've seen a lot of reasoning behind things that fall in line with this exact annexation, that we've based our decisions off things we've seen before and things that we know is happening and things we know has happened. I have no quarrels with moving forward on a decision tonight, because I think seeing what we see with this annexation and seeing what we've viewed on previous annexations, it would make sense to me to just continue on with the decision tonight.
Sorry to interrupt. We would support the city attorney's position as well.
Defer decision.
Do we have a motion then?
I move we deny case number 2007 and annexation for Arrowwood Heights subdivision based on the discussion amongst ourselves tonight with the serviceability of this annexation.
I'd like to wait and talk to the Ada County Highway District and the school district on it, if it's okay, Warren. The contractor is agreeable to waiting.
You certainly don't need my permission.
Do you want to retract your
motion? I'll retract my motion for denial, if that's what the council wants to do.
I think as a council, we need to sit down with Ada County Highway and talk to them and explain that their lack of input in our decision-making is making our lives miserable with our constituents.
And I fully do agree with that, if that is solely the basis of a decision you're making tonight. So if that's the case, then by all means, I'd support that for you. So, if that's solely your decision based on this annexation tonight, that's great. But if it's an overall, not frustration, but overall clarification you need from them regarding their reports, that's different. That I think is what the mayor is promoting with the workshop. But if the ACHD report is really what is basing your decision tonight, then yeah, we think it would make sense in your eyes to do that. So I don't know if that's the only thing that's basing your decision or if that's an overall clarification you need.
I think it's just the uncertainty of their material they provided me. I can't make a decision of what they provided me tonight.
Okay.
John?
You know, in what respect, Councilman Christensen's got a point. But I would like to have HCHD here. It's almost like if you read some of these, it's just photocopy from one subdivision to another. They're not committal. And I know they can't be to a point because of budget, but they're asking us to commit our community to a situation that, A, might not be safe, strong word, or B, they're going to be part of this solution and give us more information about when, how committed are they to these projects.
So I think one thing that we have discovered over the years is we know that we have a backward system. So in order for this project to come forward to you in planning and zoning, it goes to Ada County Highway District. Ada County Highway District is not a land use agency. There was actually one time where they said, well, we don't want to even talk about this till we know if the council's going to approve it. And so, and that kind of makes sense because they're not a land use agency. So why would they go through all the work to look at these things and try to see if they'll even work if they don't even know if they're going to be approved, right? So it's a backward system. And I don't think we're ever going to get an answer to exactly why they make decisions the way they make decisions. They're very policy driven. If you want to spend a couple years of your life looking through policies, you could probably figure out why they make the decisions that they make. But like I say, we know it's a backwards system. Normally we would look at something and say, we like this project, we want to see what we can do to make this project come to fruition. Ada County Highway District, what can you do to help us out? But they don't do land use, so it doesn't make sense for them to even look at it first, but that's the law. That's the way they have to do that. So I think that's why we get some conflicting answers in some of the comments and things like that.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Jay Salmon, CUNA Planning Zoning Director. So staff's in agreement that the ACHD report does need clarification, and we would be more than happy to try and get ACHD here at the table. I do want to point out the 10 Mile Road and Lake Hazel Road intersection, although it does not state in the ACHD report that it's not in the integrated five-year work plan, it is set for, well, according to their 2020 integrated five-year work plan, it was set for design in 2021, right-of-way acquisition in 2023, and construction is set for the future. Which doesn't give a date, but what they do is they get projects pretty much ready to go, and then when funding comes, it happens. The integrated five-year work plan for the 2022 to 2027, that is open for public comment right now. We did receive a draft of what our project list now with House Bill 389. Some of these projects might be affected, so this what I'm telling you might change based off what the ACHD Commission finally approves and adopts. But the 10 Mile Road and Lake Hazel Road intersection is set for design in 2022, right-of-way acquisition in 2023-2024, and is slated for construction in 2026. With that said, again, we would be happy to have ACHD clarify on that because their report is unclear in that matter.
So let me, if I may, shift the conversation away from ACHD and let's talk about the serviceability of our sewer system right now. Memory Ranch, the serviceability of our sewer system. Memory Ranch lift station
cannot service it as is. That was stated in the report. Does require upgrades, and it can't support this subdivision. We have...
I thought they did support it. Yes. They improved it.
It needs to be improved.
It needs to be improved.
And they agreed to be part of that, didn't they?
No. That it's in there that they say they may be asked to participate.
Right.
But this goes back to the discussions we've held in the past. When we annex something, it's our responsibility to guarantee we can service that land. And we have been reactive about things many times in the past. And these annexations that are really impacting the growth that we all hear about from our constituents doesn't just impact them as people, it impacts the services. And so we're looking simply at face value. Memory Ranch Lift Station can't support this neighborhood, can't support this annexation.
So just clarification, what are we not supporting? We got water, we got sewer, we got police, we got
sewer.
Fire. But sewer is solvable.
Okay, but... this is a discussion we've rehashed over and over and over and over, right? When it comes to being proactive about and being responsible with these annexations, we have to look at the current serviceability, the current, and I'm talking sewer, so we'll stay away from those other bullet points. We've denied annexations in the past because sewer can't support it. There's no reason to carry a discussion on at least the logical mindset of why we wouldn't deny this since our sewer system can't support it. So ACHD is a part of this discussion because that is one of the bullet points, but it is not the only bullet point. That doesn't change what we're talking about with, I get the school didn't respond to this, but schools haven't been built. The school system hasn't changed. So when there's a concern there, we can keep that in mind. We know that's the case. That doesn't change that. It doesn't change the serviceability of the sewers. So we can extend this, and we can get clarification from ACHD if that is the only holdup for you guys. If that's it, then yeah, it, in fairness, we need to do that. I'm not looking at that as my only bullet point tonight. And that's why I'm still comfortable moving forward.
And then, so I think it is also important just to clarify that sewer connections are not available if there's no way for those connections to get to the plant. So they could build the entire subdivision and then apply for a building permit, and the building permit would be denied based on the fact that we can't service. So generally it goes through the developers told what they have to do to participate, whether they have to participate or not, and I think that's why it says may be asked to participate. But they have to participate into it then, and that's done through our engineering department, and then when that is completed, then they're given a will serve letter. And it's not until they're given that will serve letter that they can do anything to hook up to the system. So that's probably a little, that's the one thing that we do control. As a city, we're able to, we could do all of this and always know that we're going to be able to provide sewer and water, unless we're told by our engineering department that there's no way that they can do sewer and water. But if it's a matter of just participation, then they can't hook up until they get a will serve letter. So, but school district, we don't control that. Ada County Highway District, we don't control that. Fire district, we don't control that. But as far as water and sewer, unless our engineering department says until there's a major project completed, that's what's happened east of here is because there's a major project that needs to be completed before we can serve that. And
So asking one subdivision to do that entire project is not possible. So this one being close to across the street, I don't think we have any problem with servicing that. But there are other issues, so I'm not trying to negate any of the other things you're talking about either.
Warren?
Yes, sir.
My understanding is we have capacity. We just have problems with lift stations, is what I always thought our problem was. So there's capacity to sewer, there's just not the availability of getting it there.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to confirm that, so.
We do not have to build a sewer treatment plant anytime soon.
Yes. Okay. Let's go back to what Warren initially brought up, is the issue. This is more of an annexation request than it is a zoning or anything else at this time. I'm willing to back up to your original annexation question that you had, that we want to get away from the, we have tended, or I have attended to make my decision based on the highway district more than the annexation question. So maybe we should get back to the very basic. What is the question before us? The annexation. So if you want to make a motion again, I'd be willing to hear it again, I guess.
Well, we actually still have a motion
that okay.
hasn't been seconded.
Second it. So. If you would repeat the motion for me, please.
I will, and I do. I move we deny case number 2007 AN annexation of Arrowwood Heights subdivision.
And I will second.
All right, so now we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All right, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries unanimously.
Mayor, I'm sorry to interrupt. Could we have a motion that also closes the public hearing?
We did.
Yeah, they did that.
They closed the public hearing?
Yes, and moved to deliberation.
Okay, thank you.
Greg made the motion and Warren seconded. Well, all right, that brings us to 6B, 21-01ZC rezone.
Mayor, you might want to hold up till the trampee.
Okay.
With the traffic is when they do come to fix 10 Mile Lake Hazel, where's all that traffic go now? Look how many times they ripped up Amity and 10 Mile. Put around the bow in, they screwed around, then they went back and widened it. The damn thing was open and closed, off and on for like a year and a half. What are they going to have to do there?
No, that's where they make this workshop.
Well, I think we made the right decision.
It just gets worse is the problem with the traffic.
Yeah, so we've got to square away with ACHD, kind of, more or less, what we're reading. Oh, no. And you guys got to know.
I'm ready, Mayor.
All right. That brings us to item B, 21-01ZC, rezone, 2101-S, subdivision, Circina Valley subdivision.
Circina.
Circina. All right.
Who do we have staff? Doug?
Yeah. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you this evening is proposing to rezone an approximately 6.46-acre parcel from an agriculture to an R6 medium-density residential zone. The 6.46 acres will be subdivided into 33 total lots, 27 residential lots, and 6 common lots. Following review, staff has determined the rezone and preliminary plat requests are within technical compliance of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Code, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. If the council approves the rezone and preliminary plat, staff would recommend that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 10 of your staff memo, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I will stand by for any questions.
All right, questions for Doug. Okay, none. This is the applicant, Randy Wall. Yes, sir, you may have the podium.
Can I bring my project up on here? Do I just...
Did you do a PowerPoint with it?
No, I'm just going to use your presentation, your staff report. There's really only one.
Was there anybody, while he's doing that, was there anybody who wanted to sign up to testify on this matter? No? Okay.
Okay, while it's loading. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, members of staff. My name is Randy Wall. I'm with Professional Engineering Services. My address is 5636 North Portsmouth Avenue, Boise, Idaho, 83714. First of all, I just wanted to give you a little background on the name of the subdivision. I look over here on the wall and we're the gateway to the birds of prey. Cercinae is actually the family of birds that the harrier is in. So we wanted to pick something that was a cool name for CUNA, so that's how we came up with Cercinae Valley subdivision. I'd like to just bring up just the color landscape plan on here. I think that's the most demonstrative picture we've got. Case 71?
Yep. Should be able to touch that and type it in. Well, I think it should.
There is reality.
You slide the button on the side down.
That's the one.
Look at Doug go.
I want to tell you that I couldn't have done this project without Doug, seriously. I wanted to acknowledge Doug tonight for all the work that he's done on the project. He's just done a really great job for us, and I wanted to thank you, Doug. I also wanted to just thank Lee Young, the chairman of the Planning Commission. We did 2 Planning Commission hearings on this project. Lee was masterful in guiding the project. Just overall, the word smart growth, smart planning has come up a few times tonight. Just my practice, the way I view this is smart growth is collaborative. It's listening to the neighbors. It's listening to the Planning Commission. That was our goal here. Basically, what I'll just give it to you in a nutshell because I know it's late and everybody wants to get out of here. First of all, we're in full agreement with all the conditions. There's no outstanding items. I'm happy to answer any specific questions you have about the project. The sewer has been, it's in the 10-mile lift station area. The sewer's been approved by the city. ACHD has approved the project. They don't see any impacts to the roads to South School Avenue. Basically, what the process we went through is we had a neighborhood meeting, we designed the project, and we came in, and right here along the south boundary is where they're right now. That parcel to the south is in Ada County. It's RUT zoning, and but that is the demarcation zone for the R2 zoning, and we're in the R6 zone. And so basically what the input we got from the public at the first Planning Commission hearing was, is that everybody wanted a transition zone. The commission did. The neighbors did. So what we did was is we redesigned the subdivision to get R4 lots, which the minimum size is 6,600. But the way, just the way it laid out was, is that those lots along the south boundary, the 1, 2, 3, 4, and lot 9, they're like 9,200 square foot plus. So all of those. And when we brought the plan back to the Planning Commission, all the neighbors came back in. Everybody was super happy with it. It was approved unanimously by the Planning Commission, and we feel really good about the project. So I'm just going to ask you guys to approve the project tonight. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right, questions for Mr. Walton?
Did you say an R4 is the dimensions of the lot, even though you're asking for an R6?
Actually, the zoning over the entire lot is R6 zoning, okay?
Okay.
But we know that, just like what we heard tonight was, is that neighbors are interested in transition zones. And so we recognized that. We went back to the drawing board, and we created these bigger lots along the south property line. Those five lots create that transition zone.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
What was your original lot count? I see the picture here, but I can't read the... Before you went and changed it back to R4...
It was always 27 residential lots. The first cut we had at it, we had 30 residential lots. Is that right, Doug? But it slightly exceeded the when you take the net acreage and you calculate it all out, it slightly exceeded the R6 zoning. So we reduced the density by 3 lots to 27 residential lots. And that gets us our R6. Okay. I think it's like, what is it, Doug? Like 4.6, or what is it? 5.7.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff. Right now, the net density of the project is 5.86 dwelling units per acre.
Okay. I mean, the overall goal of the project was to create a higher density project, so that the homes could be smaller and more affordable.
That's the thing I was looking for. Somebody in there said you were going to put in a pickleball court. Is that right?
That is true. Yes, actually, it was really. Were you at the last hearings?
Yeah,
because. Well, yeah. So the vote getters were a basketball hoop and a pickleball court, which we're more than happy to do. Because we understand that pickleball is, like, really popular these days.
I don't even know what it is, but it is.
It's almost like a cross between tennis and ping pong.
I know we partnered with the school district on making the lines on their tennis courts and doing some other work with them.
Uh-huh.
Bobby with Parks did that, and it's been very popular. I've still never done it, so I'll try it someday, though.
Yeah, it's like you use paddles and like a wiffle ball.
I have a question for him, if I might.
Yes, sir.
This is just something that was brought up in regards to just, well, I guess, I apologize. You're just presenting right now, and I can, this was a question pertaining to a public comment. So
why don't we go ahead and just open a public hearing, and so we'll just have you come back up here. And
yeah, I'd be happy to. Thank you.
So this is a public hearing, and nobody signed up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter? All right, no one. All right, well, come on up for questions then. It's like musical chairs, only funner.
Randy Wall, Professional Engineering Services.
Thank you, Randy. So this is from written testimony from Lee Carter. Lee Carter's the one that brought up pickleball and stuff, but at the bottom they mentioned the other issue was irrigation in the case that the headgate breaks and floods into the land directly into the subdivision. It seems that Randy may have written you an email and you did address the issues according to Lee. Is that something that you responded to or more in line with the issue that the irrigation headgate breaks and does flood just based on the location of that?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I wasn't super clear on what the question was. We tried to address it. Just in regard to irrigation, there were two issues that were brought up, okay? One is the impeding any current irrigation and flows from the south to the north. That's addressed two times in the staff report on page 11 of 12, which is in your conditions of approval if you were kind enough to approve our project tonight. 10.3 reads, compliance with Idaho State Code, section 31-3805 pertaining to irrigation waters is required. Irrigation drainage water shall not be impeded by any construction on site. Compliance with the requirements of the Boise Project Board of Control is required. And then it's also addressed in the deeper dive on the conditions of approval, which is the letter from the engineering department from CAT. This is section 7A, provide a grading and drainage plan which supports and maintains all upstream drainage rights and all downstream irrigation delivery rights as they presently exist for the property. So that takes care of that. And in regard to where I think that question was going in regard to the floodgate, along the northern boundary, that's a drainway. It doesn't flow. It's not a flowing canal. It's not a supply canal. It's part of what they call the Mora Wasteway number one, which actually discharges into Indian Creek up north. Okay? And so that this section is under Boise Project Board of Controls. Okay? So we've provided them with all of the easement that they require. We have a path there that's outside of the easement. It's not in the easement. That's been fully coordinated with them. And there's been no indication from Boise Project Board of Control. I mean, literally that ditch is there such that when something does crack open, it gives it somewhere to go. Okay? It's a significant ditch. But it is just a drainway. That's what it's for.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mayor?
Yes.
You've got the streets A, B, and C. There are streets downtown A, B, and C. Is there going to be confusion with the fire and police departments?
We're going to name those. Those are just for the preliminary plan.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I thought maybe you had already got approval from Ada County, and I was wondering how you did it.
So, no, okay. No.
C for Cordova.
Yeah, those road name people are really persnickety, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, further questions? Okay, nothing right now.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I was a little surprised, didn't have any other comment? Maybe we won't get that from fire and emergency services on the south side of the tracks. That seems to be the most common question from the public on that, but they didn't comment at all on there. And
they commented. Well, CUNA Rural did have a comment.
Yeah, they did.
But it was, you're right, it wasn't in reference to any of that.
Access. We caught the new chief sleeping.
Right.
Well.
And Paul said we could handle it.
Good job, Paul.
Go back to sleep now, Paul.
Okay, well, I guess if there's no other discussion, we can close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to close evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Richard, stop touching your computer. You'll break it again.
Well, it's got a pickleball court.
I'll break it. Mama will have to come over and fix it again. Wow.
Well, I guess if no one else has anything off the bat, this one's a little different circumstance than the last one. It appears it was very accommodating with the lot changes in those pictures. Paul said sewer is adequate there, so I guess no objection on that behalf. I didn't see anything else. If I missed something, anybody?
I don't think so.
No?
I think, yeah, it's very different than what we just looked at in a sense. And so looking at this one, obviously, in its own light, the concerns aren't there. So from that standpoint of serviceability.
You're thinking something.
I thought planning and zoning did a great job on this, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. If you read the minutes, they were pretty thorough.
Plenty of the council.
Okay, then let me get back to the right page here again.
Oh, everyone did. It was a great job.
Everybody did a great job.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Oh, boy. Okay, then if there's no further, I would move we approve 21-01ZC, 21-01S for the... Say it one more time.
Circinay
Valley Subdivision. I'll get it right yet.
I'll second that.
All right, motion is made and seconded. Do we have any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Before I leave, I'd like to second something. One of these days.
Okay.
I've got 3 months, 6 meetings.
Noted.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Go ahead. Make a motion to adjourn.
Third.
See, you can't even do it right.
I tried to get it involved.
We tried.
Fine. Meeting is adjourned. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone.
So if you really want to know the truth of the matter, you don't need a second to report to adjourn.
What's that?
You don't need a second to adjourn.
I don't even ask.
Now you're telling me I don't.
He just
wasn't needed. Now I'm
he wanted the second.